Good evening. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Simon Welton, and we come to you from unceded Musqueam territory, as always, at UBC Vancouver. Coming up right away is the White Noise Show, and then straight afterwards will be the White Noise After Show. This week featuring special guest Connor Neckleput, who's going to be on here for a little chit-chat. It's going to be a bit of a laugh, but of course, even bigger laughs are coming first because we have the half hour of White Noise. And of course, if I just want to remind you before we start, as always, you can keep up with us on Twitter at White Noise UBC. Richard Blackmore's always posting a few bits on there every week. We've also got a Facebook page which has quotes that we post, and you can put comments, anything you like. And that's White Noise UBC. And, of course, you can email us any questions. If you have any questions for myself or Connor on the after show, you can send in your emails to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. And, of course, you can always, always look up the best of any day of the week. And we're always adding things every single week to there. And that is whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com. So I think, without further ado, it is time for White Noise.
Another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's show is brought to you in part by the American presidential primaries. It's like American Idol, but somehow worse. Next up tonight, a boy confesses a troubling secret.
Can you believe all this Christian bashing in the newspaper, darling?
I know. What did Christian Bale ever do to anyone?
No, I mean they're criticizing us.
But how would they know we hit that cat on the way home last night?
No, Christians! People who believe in God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, well, that's not news.
Dad? Mom? Can we talk?
Of course, sweetie. What's wrong?
I have something I need to get off my chest.
Sure. Shoot, son.
Well, I've known now for a long time that I'm different. And I think it's time that I acknowledged it out loud.
Son, just think about what you're doing. Don't say something you're gonna regret.
Carl, don't try to pressure him. Tim, just be honest. We love you no matter what.
Mom? Dad? I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, sweet Jesus!
No!
Oh,
how can this be?
It just is. It's the way I was born.
It can't be. No one else in our family is a vegetarian.
Well, now, no, that's not true. Your cousin, the one who never wears shoes and lives in a van, his wife is a vegetarian.
And do you meet up with these other vegetarians to wallow in sin?
Yeah, like most Saturdays at the farmer's market.
Oh, my poor boy. Why has God forsaken us?
Look, meat gives me stomachache. It's the way I was born.
It's a lifestyle choice, Tim. I could have strayed to the wrong side, too. I've tasted the forbidden fruit. It makes a great smoothie. But your mother kept me on the straight and narrow.
If it makes you feel any better, I do enjoy the odd bit of fish every now and then.
Oh, God. This is unbelievable. I mean, I could have accepted it if you were gay, but vegetarian?
Ah, poor Tim. I once told my parents I was a vegetarian, but that was only to avoid my mother's cooking. Next up tonight, we find out the truth behind Elvis Presley's death. Is he still alive?
Mr. Presley, I am Agent Lexington, and this is Agent Ford of the FBI. May we have a word?
Yes you can.
We would like to offer you the chance to serve your country. Seeing in the army, you just went to Germany and did a lot of drugs.
Well, Vietnam hadn't happened yet.
Yes, we did have better drugs there. Anyway, we want you to become a spy for us.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm James Bond, but won't people recognize me?
Not if we fake your death.
All right. So how are we gonna do it? Like, pretend to jump off a bridge? Allergic reaction to aspirin? Maybe trampoline accident?
No. You are going to die crapping on a toilet.
Oh, damn, that don't seem very dignified.
Neither is a white rhinestone-covered jumpsuit. But it just has to be this way because no one in their right mind would pretend to die from taking a shit.
What a legend. I always wanted to shoot a TV. The nearest I got was a shot remote control. Next up tonight is some party planning.
You have to have a party. It's a milestone.
But parties seem so self-indulgent. I mean, I don't need everyone to make a fuss for me.
Oh, it'll be fun. We can get a cake. We can have a DJ. Make an awkward slideshow set to Green Day's Time of Our Life.
Oh, God. No one ever enjoys themselves at a party unless they're drunk. And then they enjoy it because they're drunk.
You enjoyed yourself at the last event we went to?
Yeah, that party had a human sacrifice.
Yeah, your parents do know how to throw a party.
You should try being there for Halloween.
I was, remember? They caught that kid throwing toilet paper on their cherry tree.
Oh, yeah. I still occasionally find pieces of him in that tree.
Look, I know parties aren't your favorite thing, but it's not just about you. I enjoy it, and all your family and friends will be so happy to celebrate this important milestone.
Fine, fine. But I still don't see why anyone would care to celebrate that I lost my virginity.
The day I lost my virginity is still clear in my memory. Mainly because it's also the last time I had sex. Next up tonight is a robbery. Alright, Carl, here's the plan. We've cut a hole in the roof, I jump down, grab as many nipple rings as possible, you lower the ladder, we escape with all the spoils.
Sounds good, Neil. Should we bring the getaway car?
Yeah, of course, and the balaclavas. We don't want a repeat of last time. It's very hard to be taken serious when your face is covered by your underpants.
The skid marks didn't help.
Alright, so I'll see you tonight, at the site. Don't be late.
No problem, I'll bring the Lunchables.
Don't forget the dungaroos. Okay, the hole's ready. In a go.
Aim for the left. It looks like a soft landing. Are you okay?
Yeah, the soft thing was a cat. It's definitely not a cat anymore. Which do you want, the hoop nipple rings or the bars?
Just get a mixture.
Alright, should I grab the cash as well?
Oh, no, that'd be stealing.
Alright, I've got as many as I can carry. Lower the ladders.
Shit.
What?
I forgot the ladders.
Oh, Carl.
Do you want another dungaroo?
Yeah, go on then. They say crime never pays. Well, that's clearly bollocks. Next up tonight is an interview with medical expert, Dr. Panaria.
Welcome to Medical Marvels. I'm Darcy Seiler, and tonight I'm joined by Dr. Panaria to discuss her latest research.
Good evening, Darcy. You're looking a little yellow. You should definitely get checked for jaundice.
I'm half Asian. Thank you for noticing.
Oh.
So please, tell us about your breakthrough research.
Well, I've been researching a disorder that I have coined as price amnesia. It affects millions of Americans every day.
And what are the symptoms?
Individuals with price amnesia will walk into a sports stadium or concert venue and instantly forget what things cost. They will unwittingly pay $14 for a $3 can of beer. They have been also known to buy a bag of chips for $5.
Does this disease affect all demographics equally?
Oh no, it seems to target young people and the poor disproportionately.
And is there a cure?
Not yet. We have tried getting people to pre-drink, but that actually seems to make it worse.
Is there any preventative steps people can take to protect themselves against price amnesia?
Simply avoid large corporate events and try to remember how darn hard you work for that sweet cheddar.
I don't fear getting amnesia. I'm more worried about the things I do remember. Next up tonight, some old people complaining.
These bloody millennials don't know they're born.
I know. They live at home till they're 25. By the time I was 25, I had 3 kids, a mortgage, and a stomach ulcer.
And all they do is watch their Netflix and play their video games and drink their energy drinks.
Yeah, in our day, all we had was local theatre, war games, and Coca-Cola.
At least Coca-Cola had cocaine in it still.
I always said the original Coke was the best. We had to put up with 2 world wars, the Cold War, the Vietnam War, and War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds was just a radio play, Bernard.
Tell that to the dead alien buried in my garden. In our day, sex was sex. One man, one woman, in a bed. None of this rainbow parties and Tinder and Grindr and rose budding.
What's rose budding?
Well, it's not the gardening tips I was looking for, I can tell you that much.
We also had to wear long dresses, none of this bum hanging out of your shorts and sleeveless tees.
Men wore suits that fitted, no skinny jeans, and people wore glasses because they had a prescription, not because it went with their paisley scarf.
What a joke!
I know. Christ, I wish I was a millennial.
Me too!
Don't we all? The nearest I've ever come to sexting was when I texted a question to the STD clinic. Next up tonight is a jealous parent.
Why can't our Tom be more like Dean? Dean's better looking, he's more sociable, everybody wants to be his friend.
Well, be reasonable. Tom is only one, he just needs time to flourish.
I don't know, he's rubbish at sports. I was playing catch with him yesterday, he didn't catch one fast pitch. It's a good job his baby teeth haven't come through.
You can't put so much pressure on him. He might be more artistic than sporty, anyway.
That kid couldn't colour in the lines if his life depended on it.
Yes, you proved that with the Russian colouring book roulette. Seriously, though, stop pushing him so much. He needs to go at his own pace.
If I let him, that kid will just lie around all day eating and playing peekaboo. Do you want that?
No, of course not. That's why we limited him to peekaboo once a day, only after he's finished his chores.
Right, yeah. And he did a great job cleaning the oven yesterday. He didn't even use oven cleaner. He just swallowed it and then started crying like a idiot. Dean would never embarrass me like that. Dean is a self-respecting one-year-old like I was.
Oh, Dean, 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 Dean. If you like Dean so much, why don't you go father him instead?
Because his mother won the custody, remember?
Living up to parents' expectations can be really hard. So it's best not to bother trying. Next up tonight, a candidate announces he will be running in the Republican primaries to become president of the United States of America.
Ladies and gentlemen, my fellow Americans, I, John Hogan Reagan Nugent Jr., am announcing my candidacy for the next presidential election of these God-loving United States. I promise to deliver the sweet, sweet freedom and democracy our forefathers had. I believe the Bill of Rights should be followed to a T. Therefore, all non-violent offenders shall be released from jail immediately. It clearly states that cruel or unusual punishment should not be inflicted. The U.S. Army shall be disbanded, as the bill states a militia is only necessary to defend our land, which the Home Guard, FBI, CIA, and Homeland Security have covered. In God We Trust will be removed from the money, as that clearly violates the whole don't tread on me vibe we are going for. All corporate tax breaks and loopholes will be closed, as there is nothing in there about giving free shit to assholes. And lastly, all guns besides muskets will be banned, as our forefathers were not imagining AK-47s when they decided it was cool if every nutjob had one. Thank you, and God bless America.
I'd love to be president of the United States. I hear the dental plan is excellent. Next up tonight, two parents deal with a son who has overstayed his welcome.
Now, Jimmy, I think maybe it's time that you found your own place.
Why? I pay rent.
And we do appreciate the $150 a month you give us. But, Jimmy, you're 55. Maybe it's time you found your own place.
I was going to move into that dope place with Warren, but then his stupid wife let him back in the house.
Well, why don't you have a look at this brochure I got you? It's for a lovely bachelor suite, and it's right next to where you work at Wendy's.
No way. I don't want to sign a lease. What if my band takes off? I could be touring Europe next year.
Of course, that is possible, but not very likely.
You never believe in my dreams.
I think you mean delusions, Jimmy.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, I think I can hear your dad coming.
Oh, hi, honey. Oh my God, you are still here!
Jimmy was just looking at a brochure for a bachelor suite.
Uh-huh, yeah, I've heard that one before.
Don't be so negative. He's a sensitive boy.
Boy? He's old enough to be a grandfather.
And if he meets the right girl, he might be.
That's it. Either he leaves or I do.
Don't make empty threats. You're no more independent than he is. Remember when I went to my sister's for a month and you got scurvy?
It wasn't my fault. I thought Fanta had real orange in it. How was I to know? Jimmy, you are moving out today.
I can't move now. It's Shark Week on the Discovery Channel. I'm way too busy.
Oh, look, this is just getting ridiculous. Couldn't we just kill him? No one would miss him. Come on, Sandra.
No, that's how they caught us last time, honey.
I can still hear you.
Yeah, that's the point.
Move out as soon as you can. I moved out at 14. Working full-time played heck with my glee club schedule. Next up tonight, Neil has been caught, and the police want a word.
We caught you, red-handed, Neil. You are holding 200 nipple rings, and you want to tell me that they were for personal use.
I found them, honest.
You were in the shop, wearing a balaclava and holding a bag that said swag.
So? You got nothing, bruv.
Have you ever been in minimum security prison, son? The toilet paper is one ply. One ply! Why don't you just sit there and have a think about that?
You don't scare me, Gov.
Oh, yeah? Well, this is just the icing on a very disgusting cake. You know why you're really here?
Enlighten me.
You know why.
Do I?
Where are the panties, Neil?
I don't know what you're talking about.
We have CCTV of you running with half the Victoria's Secret catalogue under your arm last week in Camden Square.
Got my face, did you?
No. A pair of heavily soiled underwear was obscuring your face. But we managed to match those skid marks to the briefs you're wearing today.
I'd like to see my lawyer, please.
I love the Victoria's Secret annual runway show because I love a woman with wings. Next up tonight is everyone's favourite diarist, Terence Tripoli.
Dear Diary, bored with refrigeration, a real bed and people, I decided to go camping this weekend. To begin my expedition, I ventured to my local outdoor store. They had many wonderful implements to assist one whilst camping in the great outdoors. I bought as many as I could afford, including a kerosene burner to cook food, a two-man tent. I looked for a one-man, one-woman tent, but they didn't have any, so if I get lucky, I'll just have to void the warranty. I also got a large knife. It'll be handy for chopping wood and cleaning my nails. I also bought a fishing rod, some Gatorade, a hunting rifle, and a flare. I actually had to buy two flares because I accidentally let the first one off in the store. It's okay though, my vision is coming back slowly. All packed and ready, I set off along the highway to a quiet lake I had visited once as a child. My father took me there. We had so much fun. I would play and play and play while he watched me from the cabin, occasionally coming outside to tell me to shut the fuck up. Always a jokester, Dad. I found a flat patch of grass and set up camp. I built a fire which stayed lit for an admirable 2 seconds. I decided it was time to try out my new fishing rod. I cast my rod out a few times into the lake, but nothing happened. Then I hooked it on a signpost which read, "Nuclear waste spill. Stay out of water." The hook wouldn't come out of the sign, so I just abandoned my rod and splashed my face with some water to cool it down, which it did, but it also made it a little itchy. I decided instead to try out my new gun. It was a classic hunting rifle in camo pink, the classiest of camo colours. I crept into the woods like Elmer Foote, stalking Bugs Bunny. I didn't see any rabbits, but I did see what looked like two antelope striding past. Except it wasn't two antelope. It was one with two heads. It must be a very rare breed. I took aim, held my breath, and pulled the trigger. Nothing happened. I had forgotten to buy bullets. Defeated, but determined. I pulled my knife out and began charging after them. I tripped on a tree root and stabbed myself in the leg. This slowed me down considerable, and the sight of several tendons made me a little bilious, so I returned to camp, very thirsty. I took a large swig of the blue Gatorade, only to suddenly notice it was the kerosene. It actually tasted better than the Gatorade, so I drank the rest while I cleaned my nails with my machete. Once all my fingernails were clean, and I had crudely sewn back on the tops of two of my fingers, I decided to call it a night and sleep. Unfortunately, it was only 3 p.m., so I returned home. And diary, that was the most fun I've had in years.
Thank you, Terence, for that Hemingway-esque account of the wilderness. Clearly a tour de force in memoir writing. Next up tonight is a woman buying a pet.
Welcome to Pet Lovers. Can I help you find something?
Hi, yes. I'm looking for a pet.
Okay, any particular kind?
I don't know, like, whatever.
Okay, well, how about a lovely bulldog?
Ew, no. I don't want something that sheds hair. Gross.
All right, how about this cute poodle?
Oh, come on. It has to fit in my handbag.
How about a lizard?
Does it poop?
Yes, all animals poop.
Gross. No way. I cannot be cleaning up after it.
Okay, how about a nice goldfish?
Won't the water spill in my purse?
Oh, of course, silly me. I have it. How about a parrot? It won't fit in your purse, but it will sit on your shoulder. It won't poo on you, probably, and it will talk.
If I wanted something that could talk, I'd get a boyfriend.
Aha, got it. This is perfect. Check it out. Fits in your purse, won't talk, won't poop, and nothing will get wet.
It's perfect. What do you call it?
A pet rock.
I had a pet rock, but it ran away. Next up tonight is our final piece for the evening. I present to you Fame Academy, a documentary following those seeking fame.
You are listening to Fame Academy, and this week we follow Peter Nestor, a young man from Vancouver who is seeking to become the world's most famous streaker. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Hannah.
So, Peter, why do you wish to be the world's most famous streaker?
It's just who I was born to be. I mean, I was born naked, you know.
Really? And is this all you have ever wanted to be?
Well, people always say follow your passion, and mine is taking my clothes off.
And what separates amateur and professional streakers?
About 3 inches. And the pros like me train for it. I could take off a 3-piece suit in under 5 seconds. I go to all the big events. I've stuck my butt in Bono's face 3 times, you know. I was at the Women's World Cup. Why do you think that Canadian girl fell over?
Oh, is that so? And do you get paid for this?
I have my sponsors, mainly sausage and nut companies. Oh, and Red Bull. They'll sponsor anything.
Is this a profession that is easy to get into?
No. Like many other arts, you have to put in the time and sacrifice for free at the beginning. You have to do it because you love it. But then, eventually, one day, someone will pay you to take your clothes off. I promise it.
Thank you, Peter and Hannah. I've never done streaking before. I once got a fine for indecent exposure, but that was just because I took my shirt off. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, featuring the voice talents of Connor Neshelper, Sierra Wiley, Victoria Bass, and Simon Welton. Music and sound effects by Max Cheers.
All right, there you have it. That was the White Noise show. Coming up right away is the White Noise After Show, hosted by myself, Simon Welton, and I'm joined today by special guest Connor Neckleput, who's in the studio now.
Hello, everyone. I'm back again.
So we're going to have a bit of a chit-chat about some of the topics we raised today in today's show. So stick around for that. Hopefully, it'll be a bit of a laugh. And we are going to play some cracking music. I'm really excited for that. We've got some really good artists in my personal opinion today. First artist we're going to play actually right now. We're going to give you a chance to go to the washroom, have a cup of tea or whatever the Canadian equivalent is. And then we'll be back with you for a little chit-chat. So the first track we're going to play today is actually a Canadian band from Saskatoon that sound like they just came out of Britain. They're called League of Wolves, and this is their first album, I believe. And this is one of the tracks from it. It's called Ariella. So check it out. Tell me what you think.
Hello?
Oh, okay, nice, yeah.
Just try to remember that your heart belongs to me. Why are you chasing somebody like me? Just try to remember that your heart belongs to me. Holding on to the past, what's gone? You smile when you're laughing. Oh, those good old days and those nights we were passing the time. Why y'all chasing somebody like me? Just try to remember that your heart belongs to me. Why y'all
Anime Evolution is taking over UBC's new sub from July 17th to 19th. Guest stars include YTV's Gil Guerrero, Michael Dangerfeld, and more. The convention concludes with a Final Fantasy concert at the Chan Center beginning at 5:30 p.m. For more information, check out animeevolution.com.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
All right, there we go. You're back with us on the White Noise After Show. I'm Simon Welton, and I'm joined in the studio today by Connor Neckelput.
Hello, hello, hello.
So, Connor, we just heard the White Noise show, and there was a lot of different topics coming in there. So I thought we'd have a little debate on a couple of them.
For sure, let's do it.
So the first one, I think, is a big one that's in there, is there's that rant about millennials and the sort of difference between our experiences and the experiences of our grandparents. So
yeah.
My question is, do we have it easy?
Well, I mean, of course, in many ways, we have it easy. As the sketch sort of presented, certainly in the Western Hemisphere, our life expectancy is only increasing. We have so many more sort of tools which enable us to become, not everyone, but enable the people who can use them to become sort of greater than ever, more innovative than ever, because they have those sort of tools at their disposal, which isn't to say that everyone's a Da Vinci or Michelangelo or something these days, but I think there is that level of we can advance as faster than ever before. It's a steamrolling, exponentially growing process. But do we have it easy? I think the same sort of societal pressures exist.
Well, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, I think it is a nuanced answer. It isn't a yes or no, and it, you know, in some ways, like, arguably the job market, though, you know, some people might say that's actually a tough one to say, but so an obvious one would be something like housing. Housing's far more expensive and far less attainable than it was for our grandparents. There's also sort of, there's also things like, jobs is a funny one because, you know, things like automation and outsourcing, things like that have caused the job market to change, but now we have this entire new idea of technology jobs and there's still all the communication jobs we've always had. It's just now the communications are email. I would say in some ways it's easier. I mean, there's less crime, it's less violent. We don't have a world war that we personally, we're not getting drafted. We could join the army and fight in some futile war, but we don't actually have to. So that's a positive. I don't know. I think we do have easier. I mean, definitely in terms of media, we have access to far more media than we ever did, as you say. But I feel in a way we don't savor those experiences the same way now. I mean, you know, years ago you went and bought a CD, and that was the only CD you could afford that month. So you listened to that CD and you understood that CD in a way that you probably don't. A lot of your newer music, because a lot of people I don't think give that much time to each individual's album anymore. What do you think?
Oh, I totally agree. I think, and actually, I'll sort of tie this into the sort of debate over sort of like, illegal downloads and stuff like that. I personally don't try to download things, quote unquote, illegally too often. Music, especially, I like to buy. I'm actually coming back. I actually like to buy CDs these days because actually, I like having the physical disc. I think, yeah, as you sort of said, it brings this sort of a connection. It gets me connected to it a bit more. There's like, oh, there's a cover jacket you can read. There's sometimes lyrics in it. It really sort of immerses you a bit more.
Well, that's why records have come back in fashion, because of those, the artwork, because it's such a huge space, is always fantastic. That's the same feelings. But I would say also, like, me personally, I feel like the way I try to support a lot of artists is going to watch them live.
Mm-hmm.
And I try and, and that is a great sort of life experience I think that everyone should have with bands they really like. I mean, and I think there is a big difference between watching a band you kind of are all right about and bands you really love. Like, it's a different show.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I mean, and it's sort of in the end, like, I totally agree. I think the fact that in our day and age, finances withstanding a bit, because some concerts could be like $15, some could be like $150, depending on who the artist is.
Where it is.
Yeah, exactly. But we have the opportunity still to listen to so many bands. I mean, they don't have to all be big names, but sometimes they are. A lot of sort of, local bands. And we can do that pretty much at our own ease, as long as we have sort of the extra cash for it. Whereas, back 50, 40, 60 years ago, it wasn't in order, but whatever. you might be able to see, what, like the Rolling Stones or the Beatles every now and again, Led Zeppelin maybe. But you couldn't just see so many sort of up-and-coming bands with such frequency.
But there wasn't that many, as many bands anyway. I mean, that's what Pete Townsend said when he was asked about, is music harder nowadays? He's like, yeah, because there's just so many more bands. I mean, and part of that is just it was expensive to have instruments and to have recording time and equipment. Nowadays, any bloke with a microphone in his bedroom can release an album. It won't sound great, but it'll get him out there. And, you know, you have that opportunity.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, it's tougher nowadays, but I think what we have now is the opportunity to get your market to your niche market. And, you know, you might only appeal to 5% of the populace, but 5% of the entire sort of Western culture sort of, you know, area of the world is a lot of people. So, you know, you can find the fan base that you probably would have struggled to find 50 years ago.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I mean, you're right. The access, the ability to have so many people, yeah, who can record and make the music on their own laptop, with like a second-hand microphone in their basement or bedroom, as you sort of said. Yeah, it really means that anyone can sort of do it. And actually, that's one of the things I like sort of about our age, that you can kind of, I think, more easily than before, but I can't say that for certain because I've never lived before, but you can sort of pursue your own hobbies and really make your life around that if you're successful. I think before, you sort of had the sort of set jobs. You could be a tailor or a banker, or you could work in the government. And they were sort of, there's a lot of apprenticeships and stuff that went into that. So you sort of trained for it in advance. Whereas this way, you can kind of do your own thing, become successful, hopefully, if you put enough time and effort into it, you have a sort of talent for it. And that really means that you can sort of afford to live your life in a way that's almost constantly kind of the way you want to do it, rather than the way it's kind of done for you. Or the way you have to do it, as perhaps done previously.
Well, I think that as we go further and further into a society of individuals, and we move away from nationalism and tribalism that we've, you know, had in the past. And I don't mean Aboriginal tribalism. I'm talking about tribalism, whether it's any country in the world where you claim that these made up borders that you're born within somehow make you different, or, you know, sort of constrict what you can be, which they don't. You can be anything you want, and that's the beauty of it now, is that people, I think more and more people realize that I can be whoever I want to be, and no one can stop me, really. You know, you can pursue whatever taste and art that you desire. That is the beauty, I think, of the information age.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, the fact that you can be exactly who you want to be, your most unique self possible, is really great. Because that really benefits individuals. But on the other side, it means I also have to walk through a load of rubbish on my Facebook feed. Because I disagree and just like most people's sort of idiosyncrasies.
Yeah, I think the problem there is you're looking for culture on Facebook.
Yeah, no, absolutely true. But actually, I mean, it is interesting though, because you have more niches. And in a way, it's totally great, because that means people can really live their life in their own sort of communities with the way they want to do it, and that's fantastic. So then no one feels as if they're just sort of absorbed into a static or sort of a homogenous culture. But there is that level of suddenly, even because of that, though, there are now even more differences than ever before between people. And so there's sort of the kind of the way that you could meet someone, perhaps like 50 years ago, and have a sort of really sort of banal conversation about politics or something like that. Whereas now you can meet someone and they could try to tell you about their passion, but that often doesn't always work, because then you sort of say, oh, that's okay, that's a bit weird, I don't understand that. And it depends on the minds that you're in, it depends on who you are. A lot of open-minded people wouldn't mind that for a second.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think that's more of just a personality issue of your own than...
Well, yeah, no, I mean, to be honest, like, I don't get too upset at it. And actually, a lot of people walk to keep to themselves these days as well, more so than before. So it's an interesting kind of dichotomy and sort of paradox. We have a lot more sort of different things that, you can't do everything. So you try to sort of narrow your tastes in one direction, one of the really things that inspire you. But there's so many things that you could theoretically do, given the time, given the energy, motivation, that it's really actually overwhelming.
You're right, but at the same time, like, I mean, I do think that we are more empowered to do more things than just the ordinary. I mean, I feel like, a lot of our parents' generation, you know, a lot of their entertainment was, especially both of our parents, sort of, they all come from England, and the culture there was you went in the pub after work and, you know, or after dinner or whatever, and you worked during the day. So, you know, what they actually did was fairly limited from what I can, you know, the stories and everything I hear. Like, they, you know, there was some hobbies and some sort of bridging out, but it was expensive to do a lot of those things. And yeah, they were restricted by lack of information of how to do it themselves. So, yeah, you know, as much as we're spoiled for choice, that's a good problem to have.
Oh, no, without a doubt. I mean, yeah, certainly. Like, yeah, the fact that anyone can be able to do sort of whatever they want, more or less. Well, I mean, there's probably a huge argument against that. But, yeah, if you're empowered enough, generally speaking, in this day and age, you can sort of get there. You can do what that thing you, all those things you want to do. And, yeah, and that we shouldn't trade that for, yeah, for homogeny or just sort of a banal kind of a concord or agreement or just sort of a unity. Solidarity should be because we respect everyone's ability to be an individual and to live as an individual and do your own things, as long as it doesn't harm the rest of society, which it often doesn't.
That's it. I mean, yeah, that's a whole different conversation we can go into. But we're going to play a song, and then we'll come back and have another chat. The next track coming up is from another Canadian band. They're called the Bar Brothers. It's off their album Sleeping Operator. And this track's called Wolves. So tell me what you think.
Drive a hole through the mountain. Tune in to Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host John P for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
UBC's Museum of Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
All right, there you go. You're back with Simon Welton and Connor Necklepot on the White Noise After Show. So, Connor, my next question for you...
Actually, can I just pause half a second there just to go back to our previous conversation?
Yeah, go on then.
So, the question sort of was, like, do we have it better than before? And I want to then ask you a question. And do you think... that, because I see these days there's a strong emphasis on mental well-being and like mental, emotional sort of identity, security and confidence. Do you think that's any more or less than it has been previously? Because, and for me, it's like I've never lived in a different generation, so I can sort of see video clips and bits and pieces, but I feel like especially today, maybe even just in the west coast of North America, yeah, there's this really strong emphasis on the ability to hurt someone's feelings, and that, and I think it's really strong, like, anti-bullying and like really respecting individualism. So do you think that we have it, there's more challenges, or at least recently there have been more challenges to our mental well-being as individuals than previously?
No, I think it's just that we talk about it more now, and I think this is partly the some of the good work of feminism, and this is what a lot of feminists are trying to say when is that, you know, feminism isn't just for women, it's for men as well, in that it allows us to get away from these cliches of masculinity and allow us to actually, you know, speak what we feel and let these things out rather than turning to alcoholism and taking it out on other people. You know, I mean, things like domestic violence were more commonplace, I think, you know, because it sounds like every time you talk about anybody who was famous 50 years ago, then someone will bring up, oh, yeah, well, he used to hit his wife. I mean, even Gandhi has been, apparently,
yep.
He did that.
Well, that happened, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's, you know, I think people aren't more emotionally fragile now, and I don't think, I think it's just that we actually talk about it and we try to help people. And I think there needs to be, what there is already in psychology beginning to, which is a emphasis on positive psychology and try to get away from everybody worrying about their lowest times and their hardest times and look at, okay, well, how do we actually make people better every day and how do we make the average person feel better? I think, you know, we could do a lot with that, and there is a lot of research going into that. It's an entire new area of philosophy that is untapped. You know, we've always focused on mental deficiencies, which is, you know, I think, you know, it's absolutely important, but it's only a fraction of what we're capable of in psychology if we try, you know.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty exactly right. Again, like, I can't say because I haven't lived in times previous, but I know, like, yeah, bullying isn't a new thing. Like, emotional well-being, like, suicide has always happened. I mean, sometimes for more political, like, self sort of guarding reasons, but like, no, I mean, people have always had the same emotions, and I think you're absolutely right. In this day and age, we are just more encouraged and sort of confident in being able to discuss those things with counselors, with parents, friends, the general public. Online forums can sometimes be used in positive, which reinforce positive thinking. If people are a bit depressed, they can often be used to bring people back up because they have sort of support from similar-minded people online. So I think that's absolutely true.
Absolutely. I mean, you only have to go on Reddit for 5 minutes and find some of the well-being a lot of different threads, especially if people do reach out for issues of suicide and things like that. There is a huge response from people who've gone through the same thing or have some expertise in that area, and they do fabulous things to help out those people who they've never met. They're completely anonymous, but they just give a damn for 5 minutes to someone, and, you know, they can really change people's lives. So again, our generation, I think we have it better.
I agree.
I think it's hard to, you know, after our discussion, I'm actually leaning far more towards that than even I was before. But let's go on to our next question. So Terrence this week had a lovely little camping trip. And my question to you is, what is our fascination with camping? And the reason I ask this is that I do feel the way that, you know, a lot of camping nowadays is constantly trying to make it more comfy, more, you know, get, you know, we bring cookers with us, we have trailer campers, or we have RVs, and, you know, we have all these different amenities that we take with us to replicate home life. Would we not just be better off sleeping in our beds and then just spend the whole day outside? And would you not get the same experience, but probably more cost effective? And, or, you know, what is it? Is it just being in a different location? Is that what we're striving for? I mean, or is it, you know, because could be a lot of bugs. There could be a lot of nuisances with camping. So what's the fascination? Am I missing something?
I mean, I think there's always been this sort of degree, because camping's existed. I mean, perhaps not in its, in the way we imagine it nowadays as a kind of a leisurely activity. But it's always kind of happened. It's always been an ideal of trying to sort of really, I think, get away from sort of the environment around you. And either experience a totally new environment in an environmental sort of, say, you know, different sort of climate, and perhaps being able to do that a little bit more on your own terms, having to book into like a hotel or having to sort of stay with friends. It allows you the freedom to be able to do whatever you want. And I think a lot of people will sort of, yeah, especially in this technologically minded sort of day and age, a lot of people sort of do lament the fact that, like, you know, they just want to take it back to just to let go of technology or their phones for
right.
a day.
Right, okay. Like, but if that's how people truly feel, and this is what I was thinking, is maybe we should reinvent camping even more basic, in that, you know, if we're trying to get back to nature and we're trying to get back to our primal animalistic behaviors just for a bit of weird reminiscent or whatever it is we're trying to do, why not just go into the woods with like a knife and a flint and steel and enjoy yourself? Like, why, you know, try and catch your dinner, try and or forage for it if you're vegetarian, build a campfire, you know, swim in whatever, find water. Like, is that not what people should be doing if that's what they're after?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see your point there, and I can't offer up necessarily a great.
I mean, it might
answer.
Not be very relaxing. I've just thought about
I think the whole thing about camping is really just to get away for or experience something so new and new in the sense. I mean, on one hand, camping can be a very sort of antisocial activity. You can go camping by yourself.
Well, like
in the
I mean,
of nowhere.
Right. I mean, I went camping last week, which is kind of what inspired Terrence. I mean, I didn't stab myself in the leg or fish in a nuclear waste thing. I just.
That would have been a good story if you did.
I just had a couple of swims in the lake and read a couple of books, which was fun and it was enjoyable, and I spent some time with family. But yeah, it just got me thinking about, like, what is this fascination with camping? Like, it, yeah, because I could have just gone to a swimming pool and read my book at home in the garden, or at my parents' house in the garden if I want to spend time with them, and it would have been more comfortable. Maybe it's just the fresh air. I'm not quite.
Yeah, I think it's just trying to get away from just. Yeah, I think the. Because when you're camping, even so, if you're camping by a lake, there's still going to be some people perhaps nearby. But certainly compared to the other sort of public amenities like a pool, sort of as a substitution, it's not the same. It feels, I think, a bit more raw, a bit more.
Yeah,
unique.
But does anyone actually enjoy having like the seedweed touch your legs stuff?
I don't want to go camping. This is not definitely not my kind of thing. I'm far too comfortable, and that's not necessarily a good thing. The way I am at the moment to ever want to go camping. But I think to people who do, though, I think there's a they want to get away from it. They want to experience. Perhaps, I mean, it's almost dare I say hipster to get away from everything, to do something a bit more unique, a bit more niche. To be able to experience something and then to be able to come back and sort of say, I bet you haven't experienced that same thing I have.
Well, if you're going to do that, though, like something I would love to do is go to Burning Man, which is just a giant arts fest in the desert that happens every year, and a lot of people know about it. If you don't know about it, there's a great documentary about it called I Took My Parents to Burning Man, which was actually made by a guy from Vancouver And it plays at the Rio every now and then, but I'm sure you can get it online too. And yeah, it really encaptures the whole sort of vibe. And it's really just somewhere where you can go and be whatever you want. And, you know, you dress however you want and you bring your own art, whether it's the vehicle you drive or you create art there. Everyone brings something to share with everyone else, whether it's food or like this one guy just brings clothes. So people who don't turn up dressed crazily can find something to make them look a bit wilder and a bit more free spirited. So it is quite an extraordinary event as far as I can tell. And that to me would be my ultimate sort of camping idea.
But is that, I mean, yeah.
It's definitely camping. You're in the middle of the desert, like in a dust bowl.
But you're also surrounded by a couple thousand other people.
60,000 people. 60,000.
So to me, and again, my definition is as subjective as anyone's, so it's hardly divine here. But to me, that's not the same as the idea I have of camping, which is you and maybe some friends, like no more than that, that's like 10 people, going out to an area almost undiscovered to a degree.
Well, that's
surviving out there. And again, like, I don't want to do that.
But I was going to say, that's not really what people do when they go camping, though, because they go camp in a campsite. So there's water and there's a power hookup if you've got a caravan. I mean, there's plenty of people around. Like, that is camping to the average sort of, like, that's what most people do.
Is not the same as what my image of camping is. And I have been camper vanning before and I enjoyed it. But yeah, it comes with that sort of sense of like, I haven't really lost a lot because I have a kitchen and a toilet and I'm deferred to because I go to the supermarket when we stop in at like the petrol station or like
that. Yeah.
So, but yeah, to me, that isn't, I don't know. It just departs from my idea of a genuine camping experience.
So what do we call that then? Call that like half arse camping?
It's like a
I guess we should just call it caravanning.
A living vacation or like...
Or caravanning.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Caravanning should be its own sort of set of, I'm just basically taking my most of my house and I'm moving it to somewhere else for the weekend.
Yeah, so I just want to see things and experience life in more or less the same way. which I guess is cheaper than buying lots of taxis and airplane tickets and hotel costs. So perhaps it's just a cheaper alternative to the usual kind of vacation or holiday travel experience.
Yeah, arguably. All right, but that is about our show. It is 9 o'clock, so we are going to have to leave and make way for the always fantastic Synaptic Sandwich. Which is coming up right away on the CITR 101.9 FM. But thank you very much to Connor Neckelput for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure as always. And we will be back next week with a brand new episode of White Noise.
Number what?
Well, on the scripts, we're on episode 17. But in terms of how many days we've been on the air, I think we've been on a few more because we did a few best ofs. We did that the old times feature length episode, which was pretty, that was fun. That was a play I wrote, and we did it as one of our episodes a couple of weeks ago. So please check that out if you haven't already. It's a lot of fun, and you can check it out on the CITR.ca. If you just look up White Noise and click on the RSS feed, you can download all our episodes to iTunes. You can also get us through tunersin.com. And if you go in there, you can add yourself as a follower, and then you'll get notifications every week when our shows come out. And of course, you can check out the best of, as always, on whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com. There's always new stuff every week on there. And Richard Blackmore is always doing fun stuff on Twitter. So check us out at whitenoiseubc. But without further ado, I'm going to have to say goodbye. I'm going to leave you with the graphician, who is a cracking performer. Her name's Roxanne Nesbitt in real life. And this is her track, Cows in the Fields.
The mountains begin their speech and they say that I'm lonely when I'm not gone. And they say that I can't leave, but what do they know? Do they know?
for a leave. I take my chances, count my needs. I turn my keys. The prairies begin their speech and they say that I don't need.